preach this morning. Y'all know how it is. We got a lot of folks out. Seem like when there's more people here, just the moving of breathing and bodies being here sometimes kind of takes away that stillness. And when we have a few out, it seems quieter. How many knows quietness makes me nervous? So let's just get in here and have church. Hope the Lord will help us. We want you to be blessed. Hope God will give us a great altar service. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you want to stand, read with us. We'd love to have you read along and join your voice in with us this morning in the reading of this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse number 9 down through verse number 17. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I want to go ahead and give you my title this morning. My title is Legal Ownership or Squatter's Rights. Legal Ownership or Squatter's Rights. I think it's important to point out that Paul is writing about God being the master builder, and he makes it clear his ownership. Verse number 9, for ye are God's building according to the grace of God which is given unto me. And verse number 17, if any man defile the temple. How many know that this body is the temple of God? We were created in God's heart to possess and house the Spirit of God, if you will. But we are His. We have been redeemed. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. How many remember that? So I think it's important in my message this morning to establish the correct ownership. Who owns? Who is your landlord? Who owns you? You are not your own. You are the temple of God. You are created by Him and for Him and for His pleasure. We're not created for our own will and our own life and our own pleasure. We are created to be the temple of God. Amen. Now I know people say, well, you know, we're living in a me, now generation, and especially those that claim to be on the side of women and claim to be caring about women's rights. However, their argument is completely backwards. They say, especially when it comes to legalized abortion, they say that you know, their theory and their belief is that the woman's body belongs to her and she can do whatever she wants to do. But that is not scripturally or biblically based. That is not what God teaches us about our bodies. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. Brother Justin, if you want to move on up here a little closer, you're more than welcome to do that. You don't have to stay on the back row. I didn't even realize you come in there. Brother Justin Sullivan is here with us today, only for the service today, and we're so glad that he's here. We're going to have him back before long for a weekend, but we're glad to make his acquaintance. We're glad to have him in the service. He's been in the outreach service this morning, and we're glad he's here today. Praise God. Legal ownership or squatter's rights. And I must tell you, this temple that God has created, it will be the habitation of something. Something will abide in that place. Will it be a legal tenant? Will it be something or someone that has the right and the ownership and the law behind him? Or will it be something that just moves in like a squatter? Amen. And just takes over, just assumes ownership, and just acts like they own the place. You ever heard that said of anybody? They just walked in, act like they own the place. There will be things in our life that will do that. I often think about this. I remember growing up just south. Matter of fact, the people that owned the land just to the south of our homestead where I grew up there was several hundred acres that was still owned by the tribe. We call it Indian land. And there were really Brother Arnold, really real Indians that lived on it. Real full-blood Indians, you know, spoke broken English. You know, they were the real deal. And the old gentleman, I still remember his name was Joe Hay. And he from the road you could not see his house. There was timber all around it. From our side of the fence you could not see his house. And if anybody ever heard that little saying about the difference between a white man and an Indian, white man builds a big fire and stands way back. Indian builds a little bitty fire and stands up real close. You know. Now I'm not offending any Indians here today, am I? Praise God. But man, I'm telling you, and I got, especially as I got older, my granny and my grandpa, they worried about him a lot. He lived alone. He didn't have electricity. He didn't have running water. He didn't have any of those. I mean, it was an old, almost looked like an old log. Wasn't really a log cabin, but a rough sawn lumber and a cabin. I mean, a hut. Matter of fact, part of it was already deteriorated and falling in. He had one little area where he lived that had been reinforced and was kind of stable, and he could stay dry in that place. But many times, Grandma would fix dinner for him, and we'd on horseback take it down there, find the little trail, take it up there. And I know this sounds real Western, but I'm telling you all the truth. Aren't I telling you the truth, Brother Dickie? It's the way it was. But many, many times, early in the morning, maybe just about the time the sun would be coming up, we'd be doing our chores and getting ready to start the day and go to school or go to work, and it would be so cold we'd be cutting ice at the creek for the cattle to drink out of, and I would look on purpose, Brother Arnold. I'd look to say, I wonder if Joe's okay. I wonder if he survived the night. and we could see through the sunlight there'd be a little trickle of smoke. Coming south there, and I'd say, well, he's still alive. He survived another night. Praise God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, something is going to live in your house. And there will be evidence. Amen. Can somebody say amen here? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28. The spider taketh a hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now get hold of that. The spider taketh hold with her hands. It doesn't matter how beautiful or how spectacular or how royal the family is that lives there. Amen. Amen. It may not say much for the housekeeper, but it sure says a lot about the little spider, don't it? Amen. It don't matter how nice it is, how good it is, how much money they have, how many contracts they have with Mother Nature or MCO or whatever pest control company, amen, that you have. The spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, there are things that you may not want in your life, but they will take hold with their hands. And unless you do an evacuation every once in a while and an inventory, unless you clean house, come on, somebody help me preach now. Amen. Unless you look over things, amen. If you are not careful, there will be things that will take hold with its hands and will move right in and take over. Amen. About the time I turned out the lights here last night, matter of fact, that's what I was doing, going around turning on air conditioners. I walked over to this glass door over here, and there was a snake in the church. Y'all didn't know that, did you? You know what? We cast that thing out. Amen. It wasn't a very big one, but I don't know. It ain't supposed to be here. Praise God. Ooh, oh, man. Oh. Some of y'all remember Brother Lloyd Whitaker. Y'all remember him, so your grandfather, Sister Shirlita. There was, you know, he had that, and I know, but he was one of those guys that was larger than life. He, you know, some things is truth, some things is legend, some things you can't hardly. But I remember when they lived up there, and I do know that they had he had a sign at the end of Valley Drive that said, "Enter at your own risk." I do remember that. And somebody's up there milling around one day, so it was told, and you know, getting parts off of one of those cars or something, got snake bit. And, you know, Brother Lloyd Whitaker didn't have much of education, could hardly read and write, and he had no representation, again, as the story was told me, all right? And so, you know, he got in there, and the man said, yes, sir, Mr. Whitaker, this man is on your place, yes, sir. And he was suing him for expenses because he'd got snake bitten on his property. Was he on your property? Yes. Did he get snake bit? Yes. You know, well, you're reliable for it. He said, no. He said, I didn't own that snake. It ain't my snake. It was my property, but it wasn't my snake. The judge got tickled and laughed. Dismissed it. Amen. Come on now. Praise God. There's some things sometimes that gets in our life. It's not ours. We need. I tell you what bugs me is for somebody to say, this is my, or they say, I want prayer for my cancer. I want prayer for my diabetes. I want, no. That is not mine. It does not belong here. I didn't ask it to come here. Yeah, and if I can do anything about it, I'm going to put it out. Oh, I'd like to help somebody in here this morning. Yeah, man, the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Sometimes we need to look things over, amen, and remember we are the owners and take ownership of what is ours and put out what doesn't belong in the house. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me to preach in here today. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You remember Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 2. You can think it about old abandoned houses as you drive along the roads. Amen. But it talked about a place becoming a habitation of devils and a hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Amen. I need to preach to somebody here this morning. And I wish the house was full, but I want to tell you something. If you don't take correct ownership of your habitation, there will be some foul things and some unclean things and some hateful things that will move into your house. And all of a sudden, you'll think something and you'll say, I didn't know that was in there. Or you'll say something and you'll say, I didn't know that was in there. You know what happened? Something took hold with its hands and moved inside your property. Amen. I'd like to encourage somebody this morning. It's time for us to take a look and go around and and say, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're not paying rent here. You shouldn't live here. And it's time to get your stuff and get out. In the name of Jesus, we can take authority over some things. Amen. And say, I'm the real owner around here. I'm the landlord around here. I'm the one that owns this property around here. And you got to get out. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one time we was living in that mobile home for a few months, and our children were small, and we was between houses. Matter of fact, we lived there several different times between building and selling. We'd move back, but this thing happened probably one of the times we wasn't there. But something moved in, Brother Terry, uninvited. I never did see it. And I thank the Lord that my wife never did see it. Because she might not be here with us today had she ever seen it. But at night, we'd lay down and turn the lights out. We could hear it. And we could hear it moving around. It was something pretty big. Because one night we come home from church and a banana peeling that had been in the trash can was on the kitchen table. And we know that that's where it was before we went to church. But it got in there and got it out and got it out. I don't know what it was. Amen. But I know that it had sharp teeth, because one time we turned on the stereo and we had a speaker on one end of the couch and a speaker on the other end of the couch, and we turned it on and it wouldn't come on. And so we looked behind, and the wires were not gnawed, they were not chewed, they were cut. Like you cut them with a pair of scissors. And are y'all still here? Again, it wasn't invited in. I didn't tell it could live there. It wasn't paying rent. It wasn't helping with the utilities. It just assumed squatters' rights. Oh, come on now. Don't get the wrong idea. My wife's a wonderful housekeeper. We was doing our best to get rid of that thing. I mean, she cannot stand a little mouse in the house, much less something like that. I don't know what it was. We put out all kinds of things, and finally it left. We got rid of it. Praise God. Let me tell you, church, you can get rid of some things. Amen. And I need to preach. I know there's some things, if you're not careful, amen, it may come in through a CD you listen to. It may come in through something that you see on the internet. It may come in and something you allowed in. Amen. But unless you get rid of that thing, it will become the cage. And because it's there, spirit will come to spirit. And other dirty, nasty, foul things. After a while, your house will become the cage of ever foul and hateful and unclean bird. My God, I know some people, their lives came that way. There was a time they wouldn't have said it. There was a time they wouldn't even have thought it. Amen. But now they're doing it. Why? Because something else has taken over in their life. Oh, God, I wish I could preach in here this morning. It's time for our young people to quit messing around with things and act like you can go to church and you can commit fornication and you can go to church and you can commit adultery. You can go to church and you can watch things that are unclean. I'm telling you what you're doing. You're inviting your temple, amen, to become a cage of a bunch of hateful stuff that will literally take over your life. Amen. God, I wish I could preach in here. It doesn't just want to be a little spider. It doesn't just want to be a little thing or a little schism in your life. It wants to bring in every hateful and unclean. Amen. And every other hateful bird it can find that will move in with it until it completely takes over. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. St. Luke chapter number 11. I got to hurry. I'm taking too long already. Amen. St. Luke chapter 11. I think it's about verse number 24, somewhere along in there that I want to get to. Amen. Verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Amen. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Are you hearing me? Just like squatters. Amen. They don't sign a contract. They don't ask permission. They just enter in. Amen. And enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I got a question for you. Is there anybody here that would like for your life to be in worse shape than it was when Jesus found you? Amen. Surely not. Never, never, never. But when you start giving yourself to those things, they will take over in your life. Oh, God. Amen. Let me tell you something. Just because a vessel has been evicted of evil spirits, just because somebody cast the devil or demonic spirits out of your temple, that in itself does not save your soul. When these spirits went, yes, you can get saved after that happens. But when those things leave, you need to get God in there. Because when he is evicted, he cleans it up. But the sad thing of this man, Brother Arnold, it sounds like he didn't move anybody else in. And so those spirits left for a time. I don't know how long. They said, let's go back to that house where we lived. And because it had not been a residence taken up in there, they found it empty. They found it swept and garnished. And they said, well, we'll just move back in. But wait a minute. Wait. We had a good time when we was here. Let's go get seven more of our buddies and bring them back. Oh, God. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sounds like it might have been a place. There might have been decent beings that lived there at one time. I'm going to tell you, when you kick God out, oh man, if I could preach right now. When you kick God out of your marriage, something else will come in. When you put God out like they did of our schools, you know, something else come in. When people put God out of their churches, something else comes in. Oh, God. Man, I wish I could preach. I feel God, and there's so many things that's not in my notes. It's coming to my mind. I know of churches that are in total disarray and disaster because somebody decided to put out the pastor. Amen. God wasn't ready for that man to be put out. But they decided they wanted something else or somebody else. So they took it on themselves to put him out. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in some of those cases, there have been other, I know of times where other, maybe another good man came and moved in and took that church. But while that one that God was had his hand on that was put out, something else moved in there too. Are y'all still here? Then the other man of God that come along after had to try to deal with what moved in the vacuum. Telling you, church, I know what I'm talking about this morning. Man, something will live. And if there's a vacuum, if there's a space of time, when God moves out, something else will move in. Help me to preach here today, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm gonna move on here. I got to hurry. Man, I've got to. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 22. Amen. Hallelujah. Very familiar passages here. And the scribes which came from Jerusalem said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out." Casteth he out devils. "And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan?" Amen. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, it cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first, amen, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, amen. This is the reason why he put those verses in there. Amen. Listen to me preach. I know those two verses can almost sound out of place. He's talking about demonic spirits. He's talking about casting out spirits. And now all of a sudden he's talking about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's telling you why that he interjected those words in there. It was because they said he hath who? They were talking about Jesus. They said Jesus had an unclean spirit. Oh, God, help us, church. We need to realize who the strong man is. Amen. They had the big preachers. They had the scribes that come down there. Jesus was in Capernaum, and they were trying to find fault with what he was doing about casting out devils. And they said he has a devil too. And because he has one, Jesus said, "You can say anything about me you want to. You can make fun of me being an illegitimate child. You can say I'm the son of Joseph. But I'll tell you one thing you better not do. You better not speak a word against the Holy Ghost." Amen. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he operated through the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit that we have has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they were about to go a step too far. Oh, God, help me. Man, I'd like to preach. I need to do better. Amen. God, help us in here this morning. Jesus was the Son of God, operating in the Spirit of God. Amen. We better know what spirit we're of. We better know who's living in our house. We better make sure we're binding the right strong man. Amen. And throwing him out and giving legal ownership to the real owner. Somebody shout hallelujah in the place. Do you know who's living in your house? Is the residence inside? Do they have the right to be there? Do they have legal ownership? Are they paying rent? Are they keeping the place up? Or is your habitation a cage? Forever unclean and hateful bird. Amen. I think I'm about through preaching. I'm getting pretty close, I think. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 13. I love this passage. Nehemiah chapter 13 down to verse number 7. Y'all know everything that Nehemiah had done. He had been summoned. He had permission from the king he was serving under to go back to Jerusalem, restore the wall, build the wall back, get ready for those that would be coming after him to lay the foundation of the temple. And restore the nation of Israel and restore worship. Amen. Are y'all still here? Praise God. Great, great time. You can hardly read Nehemiah without understanding that Nehemiah was participating in a great revival. Used of God, anointed of God to raise up that wall. Amen. Man, they had to work. They had opposition. They had people speaking against them. They had people against them. They had nations against them. They had inhabitants against them. I mean, they had all kind. I mean, everything was against them. They had to go back and build among the ashes and the heaps and restore the walls, restore the greatness of that city. And God was using Nehemiah to do that. He gets the wall built. Man, I mean, in short time, sometimes, Brother Terry, a sword in one hand. They had a tool in one hand. I mean, they were ready to fight. They were on call. They had signals. If somebody's invaded over here, we'll leave over here. And we'll go over and help them. I mean, they had it together. God was using them. Restoring the wall. Building up the wall. And it won't come down. He gets the wall built. He goes down. Verse number 7. I came and understood of the evil Eliashib did for Tobiah. Tobiah. Sounds familiar, don't it? Come on, Bible readers. Yeah. That's that same fellow. While we were building that wall, sent us a letter. Says, you need to stop what you're doing. Come on now. I know it's hard to believe. You think, well, who in the world would do that? But I understood. That's that same guy that wrote us that letter that tried to discourage us and stop us from what we were doing. Amen. Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber. Man, surely we're not reading this right. In the courts of the house of God. That dude was living in the church house. Trying to work against the men of God. Trying to stop God's call men. Writing them letters of discouragement. Trying to do everything they can to work against them. And he gets it all done and finds out they're living in the church. Oh, man, I wish I could preach now. I wish I'd pray for my voice to come back. I'd like to preach about 5 more minutes here. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen! That guy's living in the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Amen! This is what I'm trying to do to a bunch of folks right now that's got a bunch of things living in your house that you don't want living there. I'd like to aggravate you. I'd like to be your adversary. I'd like to torment you a little bit this morning. Amen. Matter of fact, I'd like to get right up in the middle of your business. Amen. Because I'm grieved. Amen. And it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah. Amen. Oh, my goodness. We got to get his stuff out of here. Amen. What's he doing in here anyway? Let's throw his stuff out. I didn't know he was living down here. Let's get rid of his stuff. Where's his clothes at? Where's his weapons at? Amen. Because he was grieved. He got down there in the house of God and he evicted him. He cleaned him out. He moved him out because he knew that he did not have legal right to be living in the house of God. Amen, church. It's time for us to take inventory. It's time for us to look around. We might find out that there's some things living in our house that are only squatters and they don't have legal ownership and they shouldn't be there in the first place. And it's time. It's time for us. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's not good enough just to go down there and put him out. You got to go in his closets. Amen. You got to go in his cupboards. You got to go in his trash cans. You got to go where his stuff. Did y'all read that? S-T-U-F-F. Stuff. Oh, man. You know, I don't mean to sound like sour grapes, but I tell you what, there's a lot of good people. I'm telling you, Bethany has good people. Bethany has praying people. I get irritated, agitated, aggravated. The point sometimes I almost need to pray through, because I hear people say things about Bethany and some of you folks when I know you and I know how wonderful you are and I know how great you are. Amen. And I believe it and I have confidence. I love you when you're not doing good. I love you when you got things in your life that I don't, you know, you understand that. I know you do. But I'm telling you what, as good as you are, Bethany would have revival. I'm not talking about getting rid of you. I'm not talking about getting rid of any people. We would have revival if we would just get rid of some stuff. Oh, I wish somebody would shout hallelujah right now. You know what? This building would be more full this morning if some of those good people I'm describing, I didn't say this backslid. I didn't say I don't have confidence in them. No. They're great. They're wonderful. Amen. Oh, yes. But they just got too much stuff. Amen. Oh, come on now, church. I'm just about through preaching. Somebody needs to get me a song, and I probably need to be through about now. But, oh, hallelujah. If we would just go through our house, Brother James, and look in our heart. Amen. I think all of us could probably find some stuff. Amen. Some stuff. Come on now. Some stuff that we don't need. Amen. It might be some feelings. Amen. It might be some grudges. It might be, as Brother Blair used to say, some little so-called no harm sins. Amen. That we just need to get out. It don't belong to us. It belongs to Tobiah. We got him out. We threw him out when we got saved. We got rid of him a long time ago. But we're still holding some of his stuff. Amen. Let's clean house. Let's get him out. My God, I'd like to preach. You will never have a successful walk. Your walk with Christ, amen, will be slowed down. Your walk with Christ will be hindered as long as you are trying to have God and fellowship with the world. It will not work. Never has and it never will. You've got to get rid of his stuff. Cast it out. I need a song. Somebody get me a song. I could turn to Luke 8. I'm not. I'm just going to relate to a little bit of this. Come on, quickly. Jesus crosses over the sea, goes to the country of the Gadarenes, and there's a man that comes out from the tombs and meets Jesus. Amen. The reason I want to use this is because he says, Jesus, you hear me? I'm talking about the demonic possessed man calls the Son of God by name and says, why are you here to trouble me and torment me? Amen. You know why? You know why? Those legions had took over that man. They were living in his life as squatters. That man belonged to God. Amen. He was God's creation. I read it to you already. He was God's building. The devil, the Satan didn't create man. No. He was an intruder. He had taken over that man's life. Maybe he had children. Maybe he had a job. Maybe he had a career. Maybe, but it's all gone now, Brother Arnold. He lives and abides in the tombs. Cuts himself with knives. Scares the little children. Nobody can go out on decoration day and decorate the graves because they're afraid. There's a lunatic. You know what? You know what? We can't go to our graveyard anymore. There's a lunatic lives out there. That's crazy. Man's crazy. You can't go near him. He didn't want to be that way. He didn't want to scare the children. But he had been possessed. Man, let me tell you something. I did a little research last night. Squatters do have rights. Y'all go home. You can read about this. They do have. Somebody, was it you, Brother Galen, told me about somebody that maybe a large estate somewhere in California, maybe around the Hollywood area where, you know, wealthy movie stars live, but a house become abandoned and some people realized it was empty. You know what? They just moved in. Especially if they can be successful enough to get utilities, water, gas, electricity in that place. I mean, they can do things, and they have squat, and they have rights, and they, you can't just go, even if you own the place, you can't just go up and give them the boot. Amen. But now, I'm trying to tell you, that's what the devil does. He will move in. He will take over. He will convince you and everybody else around you, I own this place. Y'all still here? I'm staying here. But the real legal owner does have rights. And you can prove it's yours. And you can get rid of them. Amen. So what I'm trying to convince you today, through irritation, aggravation, through anointing, whatever, challenge, getting up in your business, I want you to realize you are the owner. You can take authority over your... You don't have to just be pulled and drawn and somebody else controlling your life. You are the real owner. Take possession. Kick out the squatters. And so, Jesus just tells them to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if anybody here, well, yes, I do know. Brother, I talked to you this morning about Brother Gene Callicott. And I found out Brother Carlton knew him and remembered when he pastored at Fort Smith. Brother Autry and him was up there some. Gene Callicott, as I was told, was invited home with a family for Sunday dinner. They sat down to eat, the family, the preacher, Brother Callicott, man, his wife, maybe some more, I don't know, some children. They said, Brother Callicott asked the blessing on the food. And as he began to ask the blessing on the food, they heard a voice from way back somewhere in the house said, "Why is Callicott here?" And everybody got still. And the family hushed him. Said, "Let's go on." They went ahead and ate their lunch. Everything. That night after the service, the way I got it, Sunday night after the service, this family went back to Brother Callicott. And they said, "We want to tell you what that voice was." This lady said, "I have a sister that's, you know, we would say lunatic. She's been this way for 15 years. We keep her in that bedroom. She never comes out. Maybe across the hall to go to a restroom. She can't be around people. We just took her in, took care of her." And they begin to inquire, "What is it?" Well, he knew. He's a man of God. He's a demonic spirit. They said, "Will you come back over tomorrow, Monday, and pray for her?" He said, "Yes, sir." They went there the next morning. They said for the first time in 15 years, they brought her out of that room. Her long black hair hanging over her face. They could not see her face. Are y'all still here? Brother Callicott prayed for her, rebuked that demonic spirit. They said she throwed her hair back over her face and smiled and said, "Good morning, folks." And was delivered from that moment after 15 years of being bottled up in a room. Amen. But now listen. They said, "Brother Callicott," here's the part that's intriguing. They said, "We are the ones that feed the preachers. We are the ones that take care of the preachers." They said, "There have been many preachers in our home that have sat down for Sunday dinner." They said, "Why? Why was nothing ever said? Why is it when you showed up at our table, all of a sudden the Spirit said, 'Why is Callicott here?'" He said, "It's because I know who I am in Christ." He understood who he was and what he had. Amen. Come on, church. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we don't have to live in the bondage of this life. Amen. If we know who we are and we know who our owner is. Amen. Am I helping you here this morning? I'm trying to get you to understand you have the legal right and the We don't have to tell to these spirits and just let them move in and take over. I mean, I'm remembering right now, I'm thinking those young boys that got into it that night, praying for another one of their young, yeah, they were just all teenage boys, if I understand it. I don't know, I think Switzer might have been in on it. All of a sudden, they realized they was dealing with something they didn't have, and they didn't know. They just praying, trying to help this boy get saved, but something took over. Somebody said, we better call Brother Neil. Somebody went and called Neil Bridges without this boy knowing. When Neil Bridges' car pulled up in the driveway, he connected eyes with him and said, who called Bridges? Huh? You know what? Those spirits, when they come in contact with Jesus or a man of God, they know they ain't where they're supposed to be. They know they're squatters. And they don't want to be called out. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to have to leave. Am I helping anybody here this morning? I haven't went too long, have I? Come on, let's stand in the house this morning. Would you just for a moment before I give the altar call, would you lift your hands? Would you just pray? Amen. Just pray there at your, where you're standing there for a moment. Ask God to help every one of us. Amen. Before I call you into the altar, would you just take a moment? Let's analyze our heart. Let's take a look. Make sure there's not any spider webs. Make sure there's not something moved in that we really don't want, that we'd like to get rid of. Amen. I believe right now, while we're just praying, they're getting ready to sing here in just a moment or two. You may, God might show you something. He might let you look up and see something. Maybe a cobweb. Maybe you'll realize there's something living in your house. My friend, if you don't get out those things out when they're small, there'll be an invitation for other things to come in that will take over. If your place, if your heart is abandoned, if your house is empty, if your temple is without a tenant, amen, there's squatters that are moving around. My God, I need to help somebody here this morning. I worry about our young people. We raise them in Christian schools, in Christian environment, and sometimes because of our lack of understanding, we don't know all the snares and the wiles of the devil. Young folks, you can't experiment with those things. You can't do it and be successful in living for God, because those things, you give them an inch, they will take a mile. They will take over. And instead of you having control of your own property, the squatters, man. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen them in Panama. I've seen rows, Brother Rob. I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't 1,000 structures, some of pasteboard, some of cardboard. Just a one before here, and a piece of plastic from somewhere else, and a part of a cloth from somewhere else. On property with little rows up to it and little shanties. Built one right next to the other. They don't own the land. They don't have utilities in those places. They just moved on the land and took over. That's what the devil's trying to do to America. He don't belong here. Amen. Come on, church. My God, help us. We got to pray. Maybe I'll tie this back to my lesson this morning. I wonder right now. I'll give the altar call this way. Do I have anybody that would step out in the aisle that would love to come down here and say, preacher, I'm not inviting sinners necessarily right now. I'm inviting us, the saints, that will pray fervently and earnestly that God send revival to our nation one more time. God, I want to take ownership of my family. I want to take control of my home. I want to take control of my school. Come on, he'll step out right now. I need somebody. Amen. Maybe you're the real spiritual folks. Just step on out first. Come on down. Let's seek God. I really am trying to challenge your heart this morning. God wants to be, he wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be the complete, true, real. He is that owner, but he wants to take possession. Thank you.
my life and make it wholly
thine.
We're standing in faith. We're believing you, Lord. God,
God, you know how to meet every need.